Well, it's been a tough secret to keep, but we are delighted to be able to announce the winner of this year's Bruce Mason Playwriting Award. The $10,000 prize goes to Chinese Kiwi Christchurch-based playwright Nathan Joe. The award hopes to encourage the winner to keep writing for the theatre, and that is exactly what Nathan intends to do. He's also won a 2022 Grimshaw Sargeson Literary Fellowship, based at the Sargeson Centre in Tamaki Makaurau, where he'll work on his new play called Personal Essays. Also next year, Auckland Theatre Company is staging his provocative work Scenes from a Yellow Peril about racism and privilege in Aotearoa. In addition, Nathan Joe is a 2020 National Poetry Slam champion, but he won't be able to defend that title because it clashes with next year's Auckland Pride Festival that he's also involved with. Where does he find the time to write? First, though, Nathan talks about how much of a morale boost winning the Playwriting Award has been for him.
You know, we don't think about playwrights much. We don't talk about them much. And I think a lot of emerging playwrights sort of drop off the map before they become mid-career. And I think the Bruce Mason Playwriting Award is sort of this life raft that's extended to playwrights to help them get to mid-career. So I see it as like, hey, you can get to the mid-career and we want to help you get there. So it's sort of like this contract that the theatre ecology is making with me, I think.
What's kept you with theatre writing or playwriting this far, Nathan?
It might be cliche at this point to say that I feel like I can't do anything else, or that I'm almost, I don't think it's sunk costs, but I've invested so much that it would be quite heartbreaking to leave it now, I think. Like, I love it a lot as well, don't get me wrong, but there's this thing of going, you know, I've developed such a knack for aspects of playwriting, and I can understand aspects of it quite second nature now, that it feels wasteful to throw that all away and start again, even when that temptation does arise. It's funny because in 2019, I think it was, I kind of quit theatre almost. And I quit my job to go back home to Christchurch, which is where I'm based now, to return to study. But that same year, I got a bit of funding and I got this residency down in Dunedin. And I couldn't say no. So it was this funny moment of trying to quit it and it wouldn't let me. And I'm glad I've stuck with it. But it's been touch and go a few times through the years.
Well, touch and go, and now, you know, things are overflowing for you because, as well as the Bruce Mason, I'm going to be talking to ATC in a moment about their lineup for next year. Lo and behold, as I was looking through it, there you are, Scenes from a Yellow Peril, scheduled by the Auckland Theatre Company, very confident that they'll be able to put the shows on for next year. And again, I imagine that means a heck of a lot to you.
It does. When Jonathan, I guess, came to me or myself and the producers to, I guess, ostensibly go, hey, we want to program the show. I didn't actually believe it at first. I told the producer that I think she's misinterpreted what he said. And she hadn't, but at the time, I just didn't believe it, frankly. And it doesn't seem like the sort of show historically that ATC would put on. I don't think I would have predicted any artistic director would have programmed it. So it was quite a genuine shock when Jonathan said he was interested. And I'm very moved by him programming it, actually. It's such a leap of faith for a play that is very non-traditional in terms of its form and in terms of the content, quite, I like to think, challenging at times.
Yes, I mean, I've variously seen it described as a dizzying mix of humour and rage and uncomfortable and enlightening provocation on racism and privilege in Aotearoa. So big themes there. I mean, we don't want to give away the gold here, but what can you tell us, Nathan, about the story and the people in the play?
I wrote it in this kind of flurry a few years back, and I've been developing it ever since, but it's a kind of epic poem about the East Asian experience in New Zealand. Its form isn't so much people playing characters as people embodying voices and embodying states of mind and embodying, I guess, pieces of history at times. It's very oratory, it's very spoken word influenced. Actually, a big influence on it is Tusiada Avia's Wild Dogs Under My Skirt. Yeah, it's big in terms of its themes, but it's its form is constantly sliding. We move from these monologues to these choral poems to these descriptions of pornography to confessionals. I've described it as sort of you've got too many tabs open on your computer and you're just kind of trying to go back and forth between each one. It's hectic and it should feel like the digital age.
Does it come from a place of your own rage or hurt, the kinds of experiences that you're looking at in the play?
Absolutely. It's funny because I had a friend who came to see the play reading, and afterwards he was like, the play made me realise or reminded me I've been through so much, but I've survived it. And that's definitely a paraphrase, but I thought, yeah, that's the point. I think for so long I was bottling up a lot of this rage and a lot of this angst, and it had nowhere to go. And if anything, I would often refuse to acknowledge it as that. So this is sort of an expression, it's a vehicle to explore those feelings, I think in a safe way, but also in a brave way, I hope.
Kind of ties in actually with the other good news you've had in the last week or so, which is winning one of the Grimshaw Sargeson Writing Fellowships for next year at the Sargeson Centre in Auckland, so leaving Christchurch for a little while. But you're working on a play called Personal Essays, and just the little I've read about that, it feels like this intersection between a playwright and real life. What are you examining in it?
Well, it sort of piggybacks off a few things, but it's definitely a personal, I guess, curiosity, a personal anxiety, partially. I write a lot, especially recently, I've written a lot about personal things and myself. I've self-inserted, and that involves maybe family members or references to family members a lot of the time. And I do have concerns. I think it's a particularly East Asian concern where I'm maybe exposing them in a way that's not necessarily always consensual. And that's something I'm cautious of and mindful of. But sometimes I think I push the edge of what's considered okay there. And then also I was obsessed with Charlotte Grimshaw's Mirror Book, which is all about that, which came out this year. And the reckoning of truth in your own narrative at the expense of whose narrative. So it's sort of a thought experiment about what might happen if I went too far.
For your family, they'll be incredibly proud of what you've achieved. But, you know, this is an unconventional career path, you know, for people. How do they feel? And also, as you say, bringing to the stage and through your poetry also, some of the grief and frustration that you've experienced through your life. How does your family relate to it? And does that tie in, you know, if you're incorporating family stories, do you do it with their permission? Do you have to?
That's a really big question and one that I'm still actually wrestling with, like right now, even with work I'm making currently, with scenes from A Yellow Peril, with my poetry, with personal essays, because often I don't ask for permission, actually. And sometimes I think that's fine because of the way I'm skirting around some of these things, because they're about me first and foremost. But sometimes I go, maybe I should check in with that. They don't really understand what I do on some level. They know that I'm making a living doing it. They know that I'm a playwright. They know that I've had a modicum of success. But we don't really talk about my art. And they've never actually seen any of my full productions of any of my plays, mostly because they're usually in Auckland and my family are in Christchurch. I think probably the most my direct family have been invited or have observed of my work is a Zoom poetry reading that I did.
Back to poetry, 2020 National Slam Champion. Congratulations on that as well. But I don't think you're going to be able to defend your title by the sound of things, Nathan.
No, so I won the Christchurch Slam this year, which meant I'd be competing in the 2021 National Slam Champs, but they've been moved to February next year, which is when I'll be back in Auckland. So there's a lot of clashing there. I mean, it's kind of a funny thing because in a way it's the perfect way to not defend your title when you could, but you have gotten the privilege to defend your title, but you're too busy to be able to. It's kind of the perfect out, I think.
The relationship between your poetry and your theatre, you mentioned this before, Tusiata Avia is a fabulous example of that, where the two can work together. Do you see that connection between the two? I'm imagining perhaps more your poetry's influence on your playwriting.
Absolutely. It's actually become such a big part of my playwriting style. This confessional strand of my work has only kind of developed in parallel to me getting into spoken word poetry, because that really only happened in 2019 as well, where I was like, wow, I have these stories that there really aren't the actors around to tell them. So I think I have to tell them myself. And then that sort of started overlapping with the playwriting, where I was like, actually, these are the stories I want to be telling. I've just been afraid or felt limited in the resource, and the resource being there aren't many East Asian male actors out there. It's a really massive scarcity in the New Zealand entertainment, whether it's theatre or film industry.
You've been so busy with your writing. I think 2015, 2016 was when you started winning competitions and getting a lot of attention. I mean, in some ways it feels like a long time ago, and some ways it feels like yesterday, given what's been happening. But are you seeing any trends, if we go back to theatre, say, are you seeing any trends in the queer theatre scene and the Asian theatre scene? Are things changing? Do you feel that you're leading the way, and do people lead the way for you?
It is changing. It's kind of having a moment, actually, the Asian theatre scene. I think the queer theatre scene is definitely still figuring itself out a little bit, in the sense that there's a lot going on and there are amazing people, but I wouldn't say there's like a movement of queer theatre happening quite yet. Whereas the past few years, you know, you've got companies like Proudly Asian Theatre, you have kind of independent makers like Renee Liang and Linda Chan Wai Earl, and then also these emerging independent makers like Proudly Asian Theatre, like Chai Ling Huang, like James Roque. And I guess myself, it's sort of weird to put myself in this wave, but it'd be also disingenuous to say I'm not part of that, because I very much feel that I am. And it really is having this moment. ATC put on Single Asian Female this year, which I believe is their first big East Asian or Chinese-specific production they've ever done in artistic programming. So, you know, Scenes from a Yellow Peril comes at the tail end of that as a sort of testament to this isn't just a glitch, but actually the future, I hope.
It's taken a while for us to get here. I mean, our Asian population is a big chunk of the population here in Aotearoa. You know, I think we forget that often. It's taken a while to get here, but you're sounding really up about the future.
I'm super optimistic about it. I mean, honestly, if not for that old COVID thing, I think, you know, the momentum would have been quite incredible. I think theatre is having a hard time because of that, but I think within the context of theatre, Asian theatre is having a great time. And yeah, it's really exciting to just be part of that and to see the change that I probably needed when I was a young person happening right beneath my feet. I never imagined it. I guess that's the thing I'm saying.
Nathan Joe, winner of the Bruce Mason Playwriting Award for 2021.